All right, this is the Eddie and Rocky Show. Eddie is out today. I'm alongside the one and only Catherine Nero.
Woo!
Woo! How you doing?
My official sound effects. How are you? I'm doing great.
Good, good, good. So, Catherine, we had a lot of stuff that we planned on talking about, and we will, but you got to be nimble in this business, right?
You know it.
So you and I were just talking about Governor DeWine spoke a little bit ago and seemed to indicate that in-person school in the state of Ohio is at stake if the virus continues to spread. Now, I guess as of today, Ohio reported 2,015 cases of COVID-19 over the past 24 hours, 216 hospitalizations. According to Governor DeWine, that's the highest number of hospitalizations ever reported during the pandemic. Now, I will say that there is 33,000 hospital beds in the state of Ohio, 3,600 ICU beds. So it doesn't seem to be we're at capacity when it comes to COVID. In the past 2 weeks, at least 16 schools have scaled back to hybrid or remote learning because of the pandemic. And right now there are 50 districts, by my count, across the state that are fully online. So you have children, right, in high school, right?
Both in high school and in two different versions. So
right.
One is all in person, one is a hybrid model.
Right.
So,
and by the way, your kids are in Kentucky. You
yeah,
live in
they're
Kentucky,
so a little bit different. But still the same, you know, kind of thing. Kentucky's, you know, hovering around that 5%, you know, case range. And so the question is, you know, what's going to happen? I will tell you. It, you know, these governors are trying to put the fear of God in everybody. I will tell you what will do it. It is not the restaurants will close. It is not the bars will close. It is your kids will be home full time. If that is not going to get people to wear masks, nothing will.
Right.
And I'm glad the governor did it because, listen, nothing I have learned more in this pandemic than how vital and important teachers are. And, you know, after dealing with last semester, I thank the good Lord every night that they've got actual real live teachers teaching them.
Correct. Now, you know, our kids are younger. So my son is now in first grade. He's six. But last year, toward the end of the year, we were dealing with the in-person learning. Now, he was just in kindergarten. But even that
that's
was
a whole nother struggle.
It was because it's you're talking very, very short attention spans.
Yeah.
Also, my wife had at the time we had our 2-year-olds running around while we're trying to do the, you know, I just think it's, in my opinion, the it'll be a greater negative effect on the kids if they're doing the in-person learning and doing the at-home learning and canceling the school versus the potential effects of COVID, because no kids are getting this. No kids are dying of it. No kids are even in
well,
the
they
hospital.
Are getting it, but they're not getting it.
Right.
In great,
they're not showing, many of them are not showing any symptoms and going
so
to the hospital.
So what I think is interesting is this. So my daughter goes to, my one daughter who's in person goes to a Catholic school. The diocese is in session 100%. They, you know, obviously inform you every time that there is a case. And what they've found so far, and my, you know, daughter goes to a very small school, but the cases are isolated, meaning they're in school every day, they're socially distant, they're masked all day, of course. That stuff is working, is what it tells me. Is that so when you see that these kids have been in school 8 weeks, and I want to say their schools had two cases, so and none of it has been gotten at school or transmitted at school. So no one else has gotten it from somebody else, is my point. So that tells you that social distancing and masking works, in my opinion. And so I'm looking at this through the eyes of a parent, like, okay, all right, go to school, be careful. She knows to wash her hands and sanitize, and they're cleaning between classes and all of that. My other daughter, though, on the hybrid schedule, here's my question, though. And I love sports as much as the next person. But I find it interesting that the football team can practice, play, and go to postseason with no masks, inches from each other, huffing and puffing all over each other. But the cheerleaders on the sideline are wearing masks, and my kid can't be in class wearing a mask all the time.
Catherine, we're looking for the image of safety, not actual. We're looking for less liability. That's what that's the thing that upsets me the most.
I completely agree.
Well, I mean, for the football team, I've talked to coaches. They're like, you know, on the field, as you just said, they're hitting each other, spitting on each other, the whole thing. But when they come on the sideline, they got to put the mask on, and they can't, you know, shake hands after the game.
Right.
They're not supposed to celebrate.
They just exchange bodily fluids.
A lot.
Okay.
Yes.
The hand
is
not the thing that's going to be the issue there. But, so that's the thing to me. It's like, I understand also you're dealing with bigger districts, bigger schools, and those sorts of things. And I understand there are a lot of questions at play. And I do not envy any superintendent or any district trying to make these decisions. But whatever it takes to keep them in school, like, you know, when we were doing the non-traditional learning of last semester, Basically, I like to think that I consider my daughter and I a team. We did well in geometry and chemistry. I think I retook it.
You got a refresher course, right?
I realized how bad I was at this stuff. But she's just not cut out for that. Now, my daughter right now, who's in hybrid, is doing okay. But I've noticed two things, and I'm curious if teachers have as well. My one daughter thrives on, you know, in doing the online thing. She's real organized and all of that, but is real hesitant to, like, unmute herself and ask a question in class. Mm-hmm. Because now you're going full frame. Now everybody in the class is staring at your big old face on that monitor. Whereas if you're asking a question in class, you may be sitting at the back of the class, and not everybody's going to turn around and stare at you while you're asking your question. So I can see it's interesting there. Now, conversely, the kid who was terrible online and needed all the structure is really okay with the social aspect of being online. Doesn't mind asking a question. So it's an interesting conundrum that I can see. Even the best students might have struggles online. Even the worst students might be okay online. And you're learning about different ways that these kids are learning in this really odd way of kind of navigating through these school years.
So what do you think? 513-749-7000, #700 AT&T, 1-800 the big one. What would you do? What would your mindset be if Governor DeWine would shut down the schools in Ohio? Now, here's my thing, Catherine. Mm-hmm. Would you agree that there are different demographics, areas, rural, city, mm-hmm. everything throughout the state of Ohio?
Absolutely.
So how do you blanket, we're going to shut down schools for...
I don't know if he's saying that. That's a great question. Or is he going to say, kind of like he did with the red, orange, you know...
Hopefully.
Counties, like, okay, red counties have to shut down early or whatever. Red counties have to go hybrid. Whatever that barometer is, whatever that number is. I would hope so, because you're right. A county that's doing everything it should be shouldn't be punished because these other counties are doing what they shouldn't.
I mean, for instance, my kid goes to Crosby Elementary, Southwest Local out in Harrison. And they do such a great job over there. The structure is there, the mask, the teachers wash the hands, stay away. I mean, they do such a good job. And they've had zero, you know, no hospitalizations. They haven't shut down anything, none of that. It's been wonderful. So you certainly couldn't punish a school that where things are going well and say that's the same as a school where maybe things are going poorly.
Well, and even you get back to planning. Like, I know there's certain school districts that are talking about changing the plan. The plan was we're going to be hybrid through the end of the year. Like Boone County, for example, just voted to kind of change that up a little bit where everybody's going to be going more frequently. Well, that's all well and good. But once you've planned for that, the daycare or the childcare, whatever it is, then it gets a little bit confusing. If you start shutting down everything, that plan for childcare for younger kids, it's going to be tough.
Very, very tough. Absolutely. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Greg on a cell. Greg, fire away. What do you got?
Well, I'd like to give you a quick update from about 6 months ago when I first called you, Rocky, and I was poo-pooed. Let me give you an update. Since that time, a good friend of my younger brother's, he's 60 years old and RN, works right down there at UC at the medical center. He had COVID. And he had it for about 2 weeks, been back to work for 3.5 months. My son's 39 years old. 3 months ago, he got it. He was pretty sick for about 3 days, was off work 2 weeks. He's been back to work 3 months. A good friend of mine, 65 years old, got it. He was put in the hospital primarily, I think, because his insurance is so good. But he's been back to work 2 months. A week ago, my wife also works in the healthcare field. She tested positive. I've been home taking care of her. She's better now. She appears to be going back to work here in about a week. I think it's pretty ridiculous when they're closing everything up. And, you know, you've heard Willie talk about it. There's not been one kid die from it. There's not even been one kid get seriously ill from it in the area. Could that happen? Yes. But there are definitely more kids actually dying of flu right now. It is pretty ridiculous what the government is doing. And the one guy that got sick that works at UC, he described as a mask as being putting up a chain link fence around your patio to keep mosquitoes out. All four of the people I just mentioned wore their masks meticulously. They were excellent with protocols. They still got it. You're not stopping this virus. Learn to live with it.
Well, I agree, Greg. Thank you. I think we do have to learn to live with it. And shutting down everybody can't be the right thing to do.
But here's the deal. When he says, oh, we're shutting everything. What's shut down? What is it that anybody wants to do that they can't do? Tell me what it is.
Drink a beer in a restaurant after 10 p.m.
Go to Kentucky. You can do it till 11.
That's not good for the economy of Ohio.
I understand. But the point is, okay, we've got about a three-hour window you can't drink at a bar. What else? What else is there?
Well, there's 25% capacity at the restaurants, too. That's killing them. They're getting killed.
It's more than 25% now, though, isn't it? Isn't it up to 50?
Not in Ohio.
Mayor Cranley's about to announce a restaurant stimulus bill, too, here in the next hour or so. But, yeah, no, I understand. But at the same time, more kids are not dying from the flu right now, unless you have a study that I have not seen. More kids are not dying from the flu right now.
But the point is, no, I mean, nationally, not any many kids, if any, are dying of COVID.
Right. It's not the kids. I've got 70-year-old in-laws that right. my kids see 3 times a week. Right. I don't want, and those guys are dying. They both have underlying conditions.
Of course.
And I don't want my kids necessarily, you know, coming as much as I want them in school. I want them safely in school.
But wouldn't it be smarter to have them still go to school, but then, God, knowing what we know about who the virus affects, maybe,
yeah.
unfortunately, they can't be with them.
Yes, I totally agree. And again, it's one of those things where I want to be as safe as I can. I want to follow all the rules that I need to follow. But I also know that kids need to be in school, because regardless of even, you know, how you look at this, like, oh, you know, they're not getting it. It's not even about that. It's about like that raising that whole student and making sure that they're learning enough, not just academically, but socially as well.
Socially, that's a big thing. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. All right, we'll continue this discussion. Take your calls. We have Bill, we have Lee, we have Mike, and many others. But first, some traffic. Rob, what do you got?
From the UC Health Traffic Center and Preferred Cancer Care.
Rocky alongside Catherine Nero today. You can follow me on Twitter, at RockyBoyman50. You can follow Catherine, which I suggest you do, at Catherine Nero.
Spelled weirdly. Thanks, Dad. It's K-A-T-H-R-I-N-E. It's
you know what's
weird.
Funny is I was awful. Looking up your Twitter, just because I know, you know, we follow each mm-hmm. other, whatever, but I was just trying to look up, make sure I had the name right, and I was like, is she not on Twitter? What's going
yeah,
on here?
It's awful. My name has been spelled wrong my whole life. My dad was in charge of the spelling on the birth certificate, and I never let him forget how badly it's spelled.
Well, I just would. It's without the other
E in
there.
Yeah, right. It's just Catherine. It's very weird.
Yeah. All right. We'll take it, though.
It's not the only weird thing about me.
Oh, there we go. So we're taking your calls. Governor DeWine, in his press conference today, talked about if COVID cases continue to increase, could in-person school be at stake? That sort of thing. We want to get your reaction to that. Let's go to Bill. Now, Bill, you are a teacher. Is that correct?
That's correct. I teach in Cincinnati.
Okay, very good. Give us your thoughts on...
First of all, you're doing the Lord's work, and thank you for your service, sir.
Correct.
Well, thank you. You know, I have not been uncomfortable at all about having kids back until today. We just got our kids back today. The classroom is fine. We're cleaning everything. Everything's good. Everybody's wearing a mask. But I also teach in a gym. So when I leave my classroom to get down the hallway and around and then stuff to get to the gym, the hallways in between classes are very crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to combat that. And a lot of our kids are heading home to grandma or to people
right.
with, you know, not great immune systems. So,
What would you say if Cincinnati offered a choice? You know, if you want to send your kid full time, you can do that. But look, if you're concerned, and we get that, you can do the hybrid. Give people an option. Would that not be something good?
They do have a choice.
Okay. Do they? I thought it was. So it's not a couple days on, a couple days off anymore.
Well, there is that, but then there are some kids that can opt to do completely virtual, and some are doing that.
Okay, that's good.
But the hallways it's the hallways that bug me a little bit.
Yeah, I know a
but
lot.
But other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, a lot of districts I've heard have done like kind of a block schedule, and I don't know, Bill, if you're in a high school, that's going to be tough. But like in middle schools, they'll do like, let's say, you know, 4 classes together with the same team. So you're not changing classes 4 times, and then you only change for the specials or whatever. But once you get to a high school, yeah, I mean, that all bets are off. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, it's tough.
And that's the thing. You can distance in a classroom, but that hallway is tough.
All right. Bill, thank you for the call, buddy. And I know that's what Denmark did. Instead of having the kids go to class, they kind of kept a bubble, right?
Right,
where the teachers
right.
would
move
rotate
around.
And move around, keep the kids in the same sort of classroom.
And I know in my daughter's school, both of them, there are, you know, this is an up staircase, this is a down staircase. You don't go down the up, you don't go up the down, exit, you know, right. All of that. So, and the newer schools, that helps. Man, it's the older ones that don't have like that are kind of like, oh, let's add this part onto the building and then this one. And so it's like a labyrinth to begin with. It gets really difficult with those older buildings.
I just feel like in school, you're getting the constant reminders all the time about the mask and the hands and the washing and the distance and all that sort of thing where, I don't know, if you're at home and especially single parent family, the mom or dad's at work, and are those constant reminders, is that constant structure,
you know,
happening?
I don't know. You know, I'll tell you what, it's really obvious to me. It's like we were just talking off the air. All the college kids I know have had this. All of the college kids I know
what's
have
funny
had COVID.
Is like for the Instagram shot, it's the mask because that's kind of the cool thing.
Yeah.
But once the college orientation parties happen and you're trying to meet a girl or a guy, boom, mask off, party, let's roll.
Two things that are interesting. Number one, there's no parents there telling them, wash your hands, put your mask on. And really, they're on their own a lot. But secondly, I mean, so you see it. It's like when you've got the structure, whether it's teachers or parents or grandparents or neighbors down the street, whatever it is, telling them, wear the mask, wash your hands, this is what's happening. So you see high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, everything's fine, you know, better than colleges. Then you see what's happening in colleges, and you're like, wait a minute, somebody needs some supervision. But I will say this. I know some kids who go to Kentucky, and they said on the weekends, they're sending up helicopters looking for parties. And when they say parties, they mean 10 people or more. And they will find the address and send police officers to the door.
So, yeah, well, I guess you think about it, maybe they're sending like a Moab, like a missile down.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Like a little
something.
Drone comes down, please disperse. No, that'd be awesome.
All right, so let's do this. We'll take the break when we come back. Let's switch gears a little bit, Kath, and let's talk about the political ads and the signs and the rate, you know, all these sorts of things you're seeing. And I just have to imagine people are getting sick of it because it's not like in past elections where it's a couple weeks of this hardcore. It's like over a month because of COVID and because of in-person, you know, the voting day's been extended, that sort of thing. And we'll do that next. 700 WLW. All right, it is the Eddie and Rocky Show. Eddie's out this week. I'm alongside Catherine Nero. And Catherine, you and I were talking this morning about just, it's election season, of course. If you don't know that, you live under a rock because of all the ads, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the signs and the social media. I had a friend and their kid said, and their young kid, and he said, I'm not voting for Amy McGrath. We're like, why? She's like, because every time they turn on their like YouTube like
that's
cartoon,
what it is.
There's an ad, right?
Like, so I want to watch SpongeBob.
Right,
get out of here.
So now it's different this year because it's come about longer because of two things. Obviously, in Ohio, you have a month to vote. So you know, I talked to someone I know who's involved in elections, and you know, they were running digital ads in July, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is, because usually like June, July, you go to the festivals and you get out and you're knocking door to door, but none of that was there.
Right.
So you combine that with the fact that, you know, now it's a longer time period. So they're dumping a lot of, they're spending more money, spending it differently, spending it earlier, because usually you kind of keep the powder dry, then boom, two weeks before the election, you dump it. But now it's just, it's constant.
It's interesting. There's two things at play here. Number one, TV and radio people are like, have been looking forward to this election. They're like, oh yeah, this is where we're going to make our money, right? And it's true. But there's a couple things. Number one, Ohio kind of became in play. And so all of the presidential ads we're seeing. What's interesting to me is the McGrath-McConnell race, because traditionally, statewide Kentucky offices do not advertise up here because you have to buy Cincinnati ad time. It's much more expensive than going to Lexington and Louisville. And they're like, Northern Kentucky, whatever. But because it kind of flipped last election, they're like, wait a minute, we're going to pay this extra money.
That's a great point.
So we're going to pay this money, McConnell and McGrath, both sides. And so you're seeing a lot more of that. But then in addition to that, I work a lot with the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, and they've got this nonpartisan kind of organization called Vote NKY. So if you are voting in Northern Kentucky, check it out. It is completely, you know, objective, just gives you what you need to know before you head out. What they were saying, and this is really interesting, is that, you know, we look toward Election Day as like, oh, it's November 3rd. Here it comes. Election Day is every day. And Ohio's dealt with this for a while, but Kentucky did not have early voting.
Now, it's 2 weeks, right, in Kentucky?
It started last week, so 3 weeks, I think,
okay.
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not every day. It's some Saturdays, those sorts of things. But my husband voted early. He said there was no lines, that sort of thing. And I'm sure it's that way in Ohio because you guys are used to it here.
Mm-hmm.
But in Kentucky, we've never had this before. So it's like, so again, every day is election day. And so that's why you're seeing it's because you've got to all of these, whether they're issues or amendments or candidates themselves have got to focus every single day because somebody may be going to the polls. Somebody may be making that decision right then. But that's why the rest of us are like, okay, enough already.
Right. Well, and that's where you used to see you kind of hold when the, you know, the October surprise, right? Mm-hmm. The damaging thing against the opponent.
Yeah.
It's always like the Thursday before the election. And now it's like, you know, you better have, if you have that on your opponent, you better get it out now because, I mean, Ohio, what Jason reported yesterday, I think there's been 200,000 absentee ballots requested in Hamilton County.
Yeah.
That's in a county of 800,000 people. That's a quarter of the county have already requested ballots.
That's amazing.
There's some elections that are, you know, come down to 10 votes, 100 votes. That's that kind of thing.
Yeah, and there are already in both Kentucky and Indiana, I mean, sorry, Kentucky and Ohio, more ballots requested already than had been the entirety. Mm-hmm. And in Kentucky, it's cut off. You can't request those absentee ballots anymore, but you can send them in. So remember, you got to get them in there early. And there's drop boxes in both states. So if you have an absentee ballot, please do not forget to turn it in.
That is what's going to be interesting as well, to see how many are requested versus how many are filled out.
Yeah.
Turned in, filled out correctly and turned in, right? Because some people will forget to sign the name. Some people, they'll order the ballot. Oh, my God, I got to get the ballot. Then it sits on the kitchen table until the second. Right.
And this is where it's going to get really interesting. So I requested an absentee ballot in Kentucky. And then I'm like, you know what? Maybe I want to vote in person. But I'm like, no, I've requested my absentee ballot. I'm just going to do it that way. And what would happen if I went in person, they would it would be flagged saying, okay, she has an absentee ballot. So, I mean, conceivably, I guess I could mail in my absentee ballot and vote in person, but only one would count. But it would cause just an uproar. So for those people who have requested a ballot and then they realize, like election day, I forgot to send it in, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be, you can return that absentee ballot, like physically in person until election day. Just keep that in mind. You don't want to mail it on election day. You got to mail it before. But if there are going to be people who do this. We're procrastinators by nature.
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you this. So what medium of ads affect you? Or what goes into, without giving away who you're voting for, obviously, but like, where do you give your information? What makes Catherine Nero decide? Because, again, there's so many mediums right now of ads that are out there. And I feel like some of them, I just wonder if they did a real in-depth study of, Where are they wasting money? Because I get mailers sent to me.
That's
nothing.
That's not going to do a thing for me.
And they spend tens of thousands of dollars on that thing. But maybe there's people out there that grab the mailer and it's targeted and they know that guns are important to that household and they, you know, so-and-so is for the Second Amendment. I don't know that.
I don't know that mailers are ever going to change my mind. Yard signs are never going to change my mind. I like them. I think that it's wonderful. If you want to show your support, that's great. Good. But I've never, like, swung by somebody's house that I know or don't know and go, you know what? That's an awesome front door. I'm going to vote for who they're voting for. Like,
Jim's voting for this candidate, so I am too.
Yeah. If I knew the person, maybe it'd be like, and if it was a race, like you just, you know, maybe you're not very familiar with all of the candidates, whether it's like school board or something like that. Maybe you're like, oh, that person, you know, likes that candidate. I'll ask him about it. Mm. Maybe something like that would work. But in general, like there's, I travel through Ludlow a lot, and there are two houses in Ludlow that are clearly having a sign fight. Like
next door?
Oh, next door to each other. It's like Trump Pence. And then you got Biden Harris. Like there must be 50 signs in these 2 yards. And every day there's more. And I love it. I'm like, good for them. Hopefully they're getting along.
I guess the signs, you know, it's important to see the support. But traditionally the signs, like you said, no one is, to my knowledge, is saying, I didn't really know I was going to vote for her. Because Catherine is voting for that person. And according to her front yard, I'm going to go that way. But I guess it's for that small, in my opinion, ever shrinking number of independent or undecided, undecided voter out there. I guess it's just a feeling of, wow, a momentum thing. Yeah. Like, you know, okay, I didn't know who I was going to vote for, but boy, Trump has so many more signs. I kind of want to be a part of the winner, or Biden has more signs. I want to be a part of that.
It's interesting also just to see, you know, different neighborhoods and what they support and how much they're supporting them based on signs alone. I mean, again, it's all anecdotal, but you see it. And you know, you drive through one neighborhood and it's all one side. And then you drive through the next two streets over and it's all the other. And you're like, how did this happen? Like, you know, where's the line of delineation? But, it's been an interesting, you know, you can't get away from it. That's for sure. Whether it's a mailer or a sign or a YouTube ad.
Give us your thoughts, your experiences. What ads move you? 513-749-7000, pound 700 AT&T, 1-800, the big one, if anything, if any of them move you. Where do you get your information? Again, there's so many avenues out there for that. Now, as it comes to the presidential election, I feel like I see many more Trump signs than Biden, but I feel like I see more Biden signs than I did Hillary. That was the thing for me in 2016 when I was said, man, I think he's going to win this thing. Where I got to see it was anecdotally traveling the country doing these college football games. I go flying into these small college towns. I'll never forget. I flew into Savannah and had to drive an hour to Statesboro. And I'm going down the road and it's like all these Trump signs. And not even like the signs you get at the GOP headquarters. They were like a 4x8 sheet of plywood.
Like Trump
spray painted. You know what I mean? Huh. I'm like, wow, there's something here.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's where I wasn't seeing any Hillary signs to that magnitude. And I still feel like from a number standpoint, there's more Trump signs, but I feel like I do see more Biden certainly than I do Hillary, especially around right here where the studio is.
Yeah, and I think that is neighborhood driven. I was driving my daughter to dance class the other day. It is 7 minutes from our house, and there's tons of signs. I'm like, I'm just going to count. I'm going to count and see. There were 10 Biden signs and 6 Trump signs. And if you had asked me, is this area a Trump area or a Biden area, I would have said Trump. Now, doesn't mean that everybody else is voting one. Who knows? Who knows, what the other people are doing? But it is an interesting thing. And I've seen houses flip. And we talked about this, too.
I want to talk about that later because that's very interesting about the houses that flipped and get your experience with that. But quickly, let's go to the phones. Let's go to this Robo. What do you got?
Yeah, it's Robo, R-O-B-B-O.
Yeah, man. What's up?
Hey. Well, I got a couple of things for you. I got a really nice birthday gift for you that I never gave you last year, so we share the same birthday.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
And if I lose you, it's because I'm going up New Bissinger.
Okay, well whatever you got to do to make sure you get through, just keep going. What do you got?
Yeah. A long time ago, you used to meet Jim Scott in a parking lot, and he gave you a nickel for a politician sign. I'd like to see that come back to you, to give them stupid things out the corners and everything. Nobody goes back to receive their signs.
So, oh, I see what
and
you're
Robert
saying.
And Robert, what was it?
So I guess he's
decipher
saying,
that, what he said.
So I think what he's saying is, like, it's required by law that after the election, 10 days or something like that, you've got to remove the signs, or the signs have to be removed, or the candidate gets, I don't know, something. I think that's what he's saying. Jim Scott would take them? Would he charge him a nickel, though? Is that what he's saying? Was Jim Scott
see,
making
Jim
money?
Scott, he's always got a little side hustle.
Putting it in that Grippo bag,
there
maybe.
You go.
I'm telling you.